This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, I screwed up, guys. I'm sorry about this one. The vote that I cast for G-Bag of the Day, I think this was an ultimate backfire KNC situation.
Oh, no.
Bobby deployed the bots.
Oh, no.
He definitely, and we can't lie. We're not liars like Bob is. So the Bobby response diss track is, that's your G-Bag of the Day.
Hey, well, we've never accused our listeners of being, you know, musically inclined and having a good understanding for musical taste, so... This is fine. This is cool.
A lot of the text.
Congrats to Bobby, man.
Yeah. I agree.
He just boxed out his family all weekend to get in the lab and come up with something like that. Lying his balls off.
214, he's mid. 972 agrees. Bobby deployed bots on the G-Bag of the Day vote. There's a lot here when it comes to just like, I don't know how in the world Bobby just won this. But honorary five-time status, clearly. For the nosebleeds diss track, we'll just go ahead and slip that one on through past the goalkeeper. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Dawson is coaching right now. He's getting ready to win that Dallas Cup. Send him some love on the socials.
He said he felt good about that first match.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Everything after that, I think he was shaking in his boots a little bit in terms of what the score might be. Do they have a skunk rule in that particular tournament?
I don't know. I don't know, but I told Dawson on the way out Friday, I said, hey, listen, your girls will always look up to when like these other girls they're playing against that are playing in like women's World Cups around the world.
They can forever say that girl kicked my ass when I was 13.
I played against her when she was 13 years old.
That's a fun notch on the belt to have when you can like see somebody that you played against, even though they completely dominated you from like, start to finish.
Scoring a goal for the Netherlands, you know, and wow, I remember her when she was in a Dallas Cup game, you know.
Man.
She scored 5, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm wishing them the best of luck. I hope they're kicking ass and taking names. Cowboys are back at it. We'll talk with Tommy Yarish coming up on the other side here on your home of the Cowboys as the voluntary camps have started. Micah Parsons is in attendance. We were all waiting Will Johnson, Brian, the cornerback out of Michigan.
Yeah.
He was doing his workout for NFL teams this morning, but no 40-yard dash. Dane Brugler saying he mentioned back in December that he'd be surprised if Johnson ever ran another 40 in his life.
We're good.
His speed is more average than above average by NFL standards, but he moves well on the football field, tracks the ball exceptionally well. He'll be a solid NFL starter. He did do the vertical, the short shuttle, but no 40-yard dash there for Will Johnson.
That's cool. I mean, if that's, you know, I just, it's always one part of the puzzle that I'd like to have is, as far as trying to compare him to other cornerbacks in this draft, we're in an alarming area now where for scouts, where and I was going through Dane Brugler's The Beast, you know, from The Athletic. And to be honest with you guys, I have never seen more workouts not complete.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're coming to now. Players are just saying, you know what? I'm not going to do the short shuttle. I'm not going to do the 40. Not going to bench, not going to do 3-cone. I don't care. And so it's for an old scout like me, it's sad because that was my metrics back in the day. That was how I was able to kind of compare. And I've got Will Johnson. I was doing my the stack. I have 235 players I got to put together, and I'm right at 100 right now. And I believe I have him at player 26 on my board.
Okay.
So I'm not going to move him. That's a second round grade for me. And I'm okay. If, you know, he didn't want to run, he didn't want to run. There are some questions about his speed. He does not have very good long speed. And I wanted to see if that was true on tape. And it was on tape. I wanted to see if he could prove me wrong running a 40. And he chose not to try and prove me wrong. So he's player 26. And good luck. I hope it works out for him.
Yes, I wonder where he ends up going. Does this end up hurting his stock, or maybe it doesn't matter? Maybe he was set wherever he was going to be.
It might not matter. I'm not moving him up or moving him down. You know, I mean, Restrepo got, you know, Restrepo ran a 4.8, and everybody just nosedived him out of the. I respect a kid that'll go out there and run.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Restrepo, he probably didn't know from Miami that he was going to run a 4.8.
Oh, I don't think he expected that at all.
But you watch his tape. He's a really good football player.
Yeah, he doesn't look slow.
He doesn't look slow.
Not at all.
Looks quick.
He does.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So, yeah, player 26, second round. Have other players above him. If Dallas takes a corner, say in the first round, I have several players above him
I would take. I think I put him at corner 4 me right now. I've got Barron ahead of him. I've got Revelle ahead of him. I've got Benjamin Morrison ahead of him and Travis Hunter. Yeah. As a corner.
I wonder how much that short shuttle time hurts him.
It's
that's 13th percentile short shuttle a corner.
No. He's a tall, long guy. And sometimes you cannot, it's tough. Short shuttles are tough. Change of direction, tough. When you're that long, that leggy, you know, usually sometimes these corners, when they're in that 5'11", 6 foot range, you know, those are the guys that have the quickness to them. That's what with Barron and guys. Barron's like 5'11", 5.
Jacob Parrish at K-State.
Yeah. See, these guys have a little bit more quickness to them. Burke from Ohio State is another one that could really come flying out of the zone. So, yeah, it's that short shuttle time is not great. And, you know, I had a feeling he wasn't going to run, and I just wanted to see it. He didn't. So we move on. He's, like I say, 26th best player on my board.
We have, of course, Draft 101 this Thursday right here downstairs, our performance showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway. Whataburger will be feeding you. We have giveaways, a Dak signed jersey, I believe, is up there.
And a CD Lamb helmet as well.
CD helmet. So make sure 6:45 the doors are going to open. You don't have to sign up, just show up. It's going to be an awesome experience Thursday night, Draft 101 right here at The Fan. Now, we debated this on Love of the Star, and we have a new Love of the Star podcast out. It's an Odyssey podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Tet McMillan versus Matthew Golden.
Yes.
Now, Todd McShay was given this choice by Mina Kimes, went on Mina's podcast. She's been absolutely crushing it. She had Dane on. Dane's going to actually jump on with us 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He's going to be joining us. But here was Todd McShay going through that decision for the Cowboys at 12. If Tet's there and Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas, where are you going? Tat.
T-Mac is back, and I'm going to throw in Matthew Golden out of Texas. Who are you going to take?
I don't like you, Mina.
It's a great choice, though. Aren't you happy if you're the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm happy if I'm the Cowboys. There's no question about it. What the Cowboys will very likely do in that scenario, if it's down to those two picks, is take Tetteroe and McMillan.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's a compliment. You've got your difference maker on the other side. You look for a big one-on-one guy in Tet. Jump balls. Don't need him to be a great route runner year one. Continue to develop him.
You got to choose.
I'm going to take McMillan. Okay. I'm going to do it just because of this situation. But I want to make it perfectly clear to everyone out there that's listening and watching. I would take Matthew Golden given most other circumstances. This is a Dallas thing specifically with their offense, their weapons, Dak style.
Okay. So he leans Tet McMillan. Now, I do believe McMillan is better than Golden personally. That's the route that I would go as well. But I think we did have a good description and breakdown of why maybe the Cowboys could go ahead and view Golden as a better fit for them.
Yeah, it might come down to the fact of the style of wide receivers they currently have. And what will Dak function the absolute best in? There's been times where Dak, and Dez Bryant is a great example of this.
Sure.
Doesn't separate, but goes and plays 50-50 games in the air. Dak's never had a guy that he was able to get the ball to that was a 50-50 guy, right? I mean, he struggled with that. Where Tony Romo thrived with
the back
with
shoulder,
the back shoulders sure. and stuff like that. So to me, where I see Golden is his ability to separate, but also the speed that he plays with. I love Tet McMillan. Don't get me wrong. I just wonder for this offense, is Tet McMillan the best for the offense with the quarterback you currently have? Or do you need a receiver that plays with a burst and can separate and has speed? And I think Burden would be a guy that could be that way. And I think that with Abuka is one of the safest players in this draft.
Yeah, 100% he is.
Regardless of position.
Good route runner.
You're going to get a outstanding player with Abuka, you know? And whoever drafts him is going to be super happy with him. But I wonder if Tet McMillan really fits into what Dak Prescott needs for a receiver. That's my question right now. And they might feel like, listen, we've got Mingo, big body guy. You know, McShay brought that up, right?
Yeah.
Talked about the big, you know, yep. big guy.
Go up and get it.
Go up, yeah. But see, I think the thing with Mingo hasn't had a pass thrown to him well since he was at Ole Miss.
No, with you Bryce know? Young.
I mean, and he's struggled. He has struggled to have quarterbacks that can get him the football. So to me, they're gonna tell us that how happy they are with Mingo, and we're gonna sit there and nod our heads and go, okay, yeah, sure. But in real life, we know we'll go take, and I think they're gonna take one of these receivers. I think they are gonna take one of these receivers. I just think that they feel like they probably don't have a guy like Golden, and I think that's why we make the difference here.
Well, it is possible. Maybe Tet McMillan's not even there at 12. I'm hopeful that he is.
Yeah, there's everybody's talking about ahead of you with the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders visited with him.
Yeah.
Patriots visited with him. Panthers visited with him. And the Saints, all teams that are ahead of you in the draft order. Jordan Schultz saying one exec from a 2024 playoff team said he's got true star-level tools and elite production. Our entire building loves him. There's just no way he makes it to us. So it is possible.
Yeah.
That maybe Tet McMillan's not even on the board at 12.
They might, the George Schultz might be talking to the Dallas Cowboys. They might not feel like that McMillan has a chance to make it, and they have to be able to pivot for one of these other guys.
Now, I did see today there was an NFL.com mocky mock from Gennaro Felice. I don't even know.
Hey, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Would you take, what if it came down to Abuka or Golden? You would take
Abuka.
You would take Abuka. Yeah. Okay.
I would. I think that Abuka is just a clean player. I love his blocking. Yeah. I don't think he gets credit for the explosiveness that he's got.
I mean,
that's a guy that you can throw a screen to and he can take it 60 to 70 yards to a house. We've seen him do it on tape.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think he's probably one of the most underrated players in the entire draft. And I know, and he's safe to your point.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've got myself a good player.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. And he can be, he's worked as the number two. He's a 1A, really.
Yeah.
But he's done that his entire time at Ohio State. Sure. Good character guy, loves ball, great route runner. He will be able to separate for you. And the blocking, you want to be able to help run the football better. He's a tremendous blocking wide receiver. This was a fascinating mock because it had the Cowboys trading up. And it's a player we haven't talked about. They did have Cam Ward going 1, Abdul Carter goes 2, Travis Hunter going 3 to the Giants, and Albert Breer today.
I think Travis Hunter to the Giants. I was on the Giants podcast this morning with John Smelk. A lot of questions about Travis Hunter and that crew.
They were asking a lot about him. So they're hoping that he's there.
Yeah, they're hoping that they're hoping he's there.
Albert Breer and his Monday morning quarterback said that he does not think Shador is going 2 or 3. Where does Shador end up going? And, I mean, it could be a fall. Like, the Saints do make a lot of sense at 9. They need a quarterback now. Do they wait to the second round? I mean,
they like Jackson Dart more? That's the question you also have to ask yourself.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
does Kellen Moore, does Jackson Dart fit more to what Kellen Moore's trying to do? Or is Shador Sanders that guy? You know, if you watch, I mean, what the quarterbacks... And Kellen Moore's done a great job. He did a great job with Dak Prescott. He did a great job with Jalen Hurts. What kind of quarterback does he need to play with? But there might be some people in the Saints building that are going to fight for Jackson Dart here.
Could be. And maybe they just say, hey, we're going to take Tet McMillan and we'll circle back in the second round. Like, this could be where you get Cam Ward as maybe the only receiver or quarterback that goes in the first round.
Well,
maybe everybody waits on this thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it ends up
being like a Will Levis. We didn't think Will Levis would slide to the second round. Then he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to me that the draft is going to hinge on what Cleveland does at 2. Because they could send the draft in a couple of different directions. If they take Sanders, it goes in another direction. Yeah. The Giants get their wish with Hunter. Or it turns out Hunter ends up in Cleveland. Now all these quarterbacks are in play, and there could be a slide for some of these guys.
That's how you end up like getting the quarterbacks to go. You need the run.
Yeah.
If nobody ends up taking one, then they can all end up sliding, and maybe you do only get
Giants,
one or two.
Giants
to go.
Were talking today about, they were asking about second round quarterbacks. You know, they're like, hey, what do you think about this quarterback? You know, and I'm like, well, I really like Howard, and you know, and this is why I like Milroe, and this, you know, that kind of thing. So they're
waiting.
They're waiting. Yeah.
Well, this mock did have Travis Hunter going to the Giants. Mason Graham then goes to the Patriots. Genty goes to the Jags because Mason Graham's off the board.
Mm.
So then Will Campbell goes to the Raiders. Mambu goes to the Jets. And then we had a trade alert. The Dallas Cowboys moving up to number 8 with the Carolina Panthers. And the Cowboys take Jalen Walker, Georgia edge / linebacker hybrid player.
Whose draft is this?
This is an NFL.com mock. It is Gennaro Felici.
Okay.
And I don't know who this guy
is. Shake it up, man. I like
it. But it's different. And this would be one where, like, okay, all of a sudden, this thing's gone a weird order that we have not really thought of.
Yeah.
So Cowboys move up, go get Jalen Walker, which kind of, now you've got an off-ball guy, maybe if you like him there.
I think that's
that can also freelance and give you pass rush.
Yeah, that's to me. And the Giants were surprised that I had Walker as an off-ball linebacker. They look at him as an edge.
I just think that's his best. When he's at his best, scouting after
when he rushes, he's outstanding. But
I probably undersold his athletic ability off-ball.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about it is that where is he off-ball? How wore down is he going to be playing along the line of scrimmage?
Right.
We've seen it happen to Micah Parsons. You know, we've seen Micah Parsons be great for 13 games. And then the last 4 games, like, you know, he's just wore down. I think the same thing might happen to Jalen Walker, myself.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a hell of a football player.
Oh, God, yes.
There was a mock, so much more draft rumor rooskies and NFL content to get into. But let's catch up with Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com. He's going to give us all of the details on what went down today. Did he get his fingers on any of those crawfish tails? We'll find out. Tommy Yarish joining us next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
All right, let's talk some Cowboys with Tommy Yarish at DallasCowboys.com right here in the nation. Great to have you in. Segment brought to you by the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. We'll get you with a little Monday Krusty's Corner coming up here at 340. But right now we head to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in our good buddy, DallasCowboys.com, Tommy Yarish, on a day where Micah Parsons and the entire squad were there with a little crawfish boil doing it up. Brian Schottenheimer trying to win the hearts of his players already. Tommy, how's the day been?
Yeah, afternoon, fellas. I hope you guys are doing good. Yeah, absolutely. Shotty's getting off on the right foot with a lot of these guys, seemingly. Crawfish boil certainly is not a bad way to start, especially down here. I'm a northerner myself, so I've never been much of a crawfish guy, but I can imagine that I've learned that it's pretty popular down here, so I'm sure that was a big hit.
So the mandatory veteran minicamp starts June 10th to the 12th. So for a guy like Micah, that's when technically he would have to show up. He spent the last couple off seasons working out privately, but how important was it that he did show up today? I know everyone on the Cowboys beat. That was the headline story. It seemed Micah did show up where he did not last year.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It's a good step in the right direction, Zach. You know, I think that when you look at what Jerry Jones said at league meetings, that, you know, he wants to have total and complete satisfaction that he's got a commitment from Micah Parsons as a leader. I think stuff like this is what shows Jerry Jones, hey, okay, Micah Parsons is committed to being a leader for this team. And, you know, obviously there's a lot more things that are going to have to happen here these next couple of weeks, I think, to get to the finish line on this deal. But I would think it's more of a matter of when and not if that needs to happen. So you think about the leadership that the Cowboys have lost this offseason, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jordan Lewis. They need a leader, and they need a leader on the defensive side of the ball. And Micah Parsons is the name that comes to the forefront. Dak Prescott talked about it a little bit on Friday when he was at the Children's Cancer Fund gala. You know, he said that he's very confident in Micah and what he can do. And, you know, who he is and what he wants to do is important as anything, and that's in being a leader. That's what stuck out to me from Dak, and, you know, having the confidence of Dak Prescott, who I would say is kind of the unequivocal voice of the locker room for Dallas, I think is a good start. And Micah showing up today for a volunteer workout is another step in the right direction, but I think there's, you know, still more work to be done.
All right, Yarish, you live in that building. What are the walls telling you right now about this draft?
I think that the walls in my head are telling me that wide receiver is probably the most likely option at 12 broadest. I think it just makes the most sense when you think about the guys that are going to potentially be there. And the two names that for me have come to the forefront are Matthew Golden and Terrell McMillan, wide receiver from Texas and Arizona, respectively. You know, I think that when you look at this offense, aside from CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys need some help at wide receiver, too. They need an explosive playmaker like Stephen Jones was telling us at league meetings. And I think both McMillan and Golden can fit that bill for the Cowboys. When you look at McMillan, I think he complements CeeDee really well because of his size and catch radius. As a 50-50 ball guy, go up and get it. That's what he's done his whole career, his whole life, really, going back to his high school days at Servite in California. He's got a volleyball background, so he uses that 6'5", 212 frame to his advantage. And then Golden, he's a blazer. Still needs to be a little bit more polished as a route runner, I think, but both of those guys can really give you a lot on the receiving side of things. I think McMillan makes more sense just because of from a body standpoint and what the Cowboys need on the outside and not necessarily in the slot, where Golden's played a little bit slot and outside, but McMillan's your outside guy. The Cowboys need an outside guy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy, you covered Golden at Texas. Sell me on him right now.
Oh, well, I've covered Golden since, believe it or not, his days in high school at Klein Kane.
Ooh, wow.
He and Jaden Blue were high school teammates down there at Klein Kane. So two Texas guys there that finally reunited. Matthew Golden, I think, you know, he sold himself a little bit at the combine, too, by running a 4.29, and that surprised a lot of people. This is a guy who I think ran a 10.93 in the 100 as a junior in high school. So he has a track background, and that speed translates on film. He might not look like he necessarily runs 4.29 on film, but he's able to get past guys pretty quickly at the line of scrimmage. Like I mentioned, a little bit more of a little bit more polishing to be done as a route runner, but he cuts really well. His ball skills are great. I feel like when you turn on his film, it looks like he glides in his routes. And at the line of scrimmage, those first three or so steps when he needs to win, he wins pretty easily. Starts his routes well, high-end speed that is showcased after the catch, able to create that separation like I was talking about. Even against perfect coverage, he finds ways to win. You think back to that Georgia game in the SEC championship when Kirby Smart was jumping up there with him to try and pick off the ball. I think that was an excellent example of it. And then he adds the ability, I think, to help as a return specialist. He didn't do it very much at Texas because guys either kicked the ball out of the end zone or kicked it away from him. But when he was at Houston before he transferred to Texas, he had two kickoff returns for touchdowns. So all of that, I think, can translate very well to the NFL level, whether it's with the Cowboys or not.
Tommy, do you think he was the MVP of Texas' playoff run last year?
Absolutely. I think 4th-and-13 alone is sells it for me. You know, you think about some of the greatest moments in Texas football history. That's going to live up there with one of them. And going into the playoff run, you think, okay, what does Isaiah Bond's health look like? Is he 100%? Can he get to that top-end speed that made him so special? And he never really did. And Matthew Golden stepped up when Texas needed it most, and he was the alpha that Texas needed. So, absolutely, he was the MVP. And I think, you know, the only other argument I think you could have would be Jahdae Barron, the corner. But he was kind of the MVP for the defense most of the season. But absolutely, Matthew Golden was big for them down the stretch.
Tommy, what do you feel like is the Cowboys' thoughts on where they stand with Mazi Smith right now? How much of a pressing need is it, do you think it is in their minds, to upgrade from him on the interior of the defensive line?
Well, I get the sense that Matt Eberflus likes Mazi Smith a lot. You know, he's more of a three-tech guy himself, Eberflus is, in terms of what he wants to be the engine of his defense. But he likes himself some one-techs, too. He had a couple of good ones in Chicago. It never really amounted to much, but in terms of wins, but from a run defense standpoint, the Bears defended the run pretty well with Matt Eberflus when he was the defensive play caller. And, you know, as far as upgrading goes, I think you would look at the additions they made in free agency and they can say, okay, well, we bolstered up the defensive line up front to help our run game with bringing guys like Solomon Thomas into the room. But you certainly look at this draft class and say, wow, this is a pretty loaded defensive tackle group. And I think they've said that too. Steven Jones and Brian Schottenheimer both told us at league meetings that they love the depth in the defensive tackle room. So I think one tech is certainly an area where they get a guy and try to push Mazi Smith, not necessarily replace him. I think it's a little bit too early in his career to be thinking about that, but you're absolutely right that a step needs to be made in the right direction for him. So I think that you look at this group now, the question would be, how early do you want to go and get a one tech guy and who's on the board there for you? It is deep, but how deep do you want to let it go? When does the run happen on defensive tackles? Those are all questions that Dallas needs to answer, considering some of the other names they've got across the board too.
Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Now, we've talked to receivers, and obviously Genty's a guy that we would love. I mean, the mock drafts early on, it was Genty. Then it's like, he's not going to be there. Then it was Tet McMillan. Now you've got Golden that's getting a lot of hype. Let's say, for just argument's sake, all three are gone. Is there another name that you think could be in play that maybe we're not talking about enough at number 12 for the Cowboys?
Ooh, well, I think trade back is in play there, but that's going to be harder to come by. I'll give you two that could, just, you know, based off of assumption, really. You know, you look at what this team needs in terms of outside of the skill position players, right? You look at guys on the edges that are isolated one-on-one, offensive tackles, defensive ends. I think one name that could surprise you would be Armand Membu from Missouri. If he drops to number 12, he's kind of got that versatility to play tackle or guard. I feel like super athletic, uses it well in the run and pass game. And this is a team that right guard spot is open for competition. And based on how good they feel about the guys that they've got in that room determines whether or not, hey, okay, if all three of our guys are gone and Membu slides to number 12, I think you're looking at a pretty good potential option there at your right guard spot. And then the other one would be Jihad Campbell. I think Jihad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama, is a really interesting case study for this, because I would say he's linebacker one in this class, but I feel like there are some teams that have him higher than folks in the media. I'm not saying that Dallas does. I'm just saying in general across the league, I feel like there are teams that have him higher because he can do so much for you from sideline to sideline as a linebacker. But I really love what he's able to do as a pass rusher too. He gets on the quarterback, off the edge pretty quickly, and can just do a whole lot for you as that kind of chess piece on the defensive side. I think Jihad Campbell is what a lot of people think Jalen Walker from Georgia is. I think Walker's more of an edge rusher, doesn't have the linebacking ability that Campbell does, but I think he's a really good all-around football player. So if the Cowboys think that too, that's another guy that I would keep an eye on there at 12.
Talking with Tommy Yarsh at DallasCowboys.com here on The Fan. When Dak says that he could play today if the Cowboys were playing a game from a health-wise standpoint, are you buying that?
I'm buying it. Yeah, I'm buying it. I'm not saying it's a good thing if he could play today. You know, I think that what stood out from that conversation was him following up with saying, okay, I could play a game if I needed to today, but the goal for me is to play 17 games. So just because he can play today doesn't necessarily mean that he's 100% fully recovered, ready to get out of the gates and go. I think Dak Prescott needs to reach the point where he is 100% and can feel like he can play 17 games if he wants to return to the 2023 version and not what we saw at the start of the year from Dak Prescott. And so mobility is going to be a big part of that. And that's why it's so important that he gets closer to that 100% than, say, you know, capping out by the start of the season at 85 or 90% in terms of his health, just because mobility is such a big part of his game. Not necessarily, you know, getting out and scrambling for 8-10 yards whenever he can, but he's been his best on play action when he's moving the pocket and moving around the field. So that aspect of it is going to be really important, and that's why I think it's more important for him to get to 100%. But no, I do buy that he could probably play a game today if he needed to.
Are you getting the call up for the Draft 101 on Thursday night with the Whataburger and all the Tolos coming out here answering draft questions?
As far as I know, I'm invited. I mean, you guys got to tell me if I'm not invited.
Oh, oh man, you're in.
You got a spot, Tommy.
You're in. You're going to answer all the questions. We're going to eat Whataburger while you answer questions.
You just sit in the back with me and eat some Whataburger, Tommy, and we'll heckle Walchuk and Broadus during the proceedings.
Oh, man. Well, that sounds good to me. But no, I'm looking forward to being there and hanging out with you guys and the Tolos. It's going to be a great time. I'm really excited for it.
Heck yeah. You're a beast. We appreciate it, Tommy. Have a great day.
All right, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, right here in the G-Bag Nation. And your path to the draft right here on The Fan is brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all Pluckers locations Thursday, April 24th for our annual draft party. I'll be in Grapevine. Looking forward to that. Always a great time. Maybe the greatest party of the year. One of the things that I circle on the calendar every single year, I look forward to it. So,
the way you punish wings,
it's beautiful.
It has to be at a loss for them.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like, hey, if Eric is there anything.
You know they hate to see Eric coming.
That's what I'm saying, Lucius. Lucius, like, I was, the other day, like, I was so grateful you came in to get your plate. You know, you're respectful about it. You put your wings on there. You kind of, hey, thanks,
you're
Brian.
Respectful about it.
And Eric just, like, Eric eats a bunch of wings, goes away, and then comes back. It's like, has everybody got their plate? And then he just dives on in.
That's
again.
When he turns on his little vacuum. Just
My man eats wings at a alarming rate.
The waiters are always surprised on draft night when I circle back for a fifth time and place another order. They're like, really?
Are these all
are you serious?
Do you
ever take any to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. That final order is thinking. I'm now thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, the draft's about to end, and you're thinking, how can I get one more order out of these folks?
So, did the barbecue and the blue cheese that ended up being a good mix?
It was
interesting. I'm glad Lucius brought it up.
Yeah, man,
he's right.
Zing on it. You know what I mean?
It did. It absolutely did. Yeah.
All right, Krusty's bringing the zing. Krusty's corner's coming up next.
Hey guys, let me tell you what. There's some players flying up this draft board. I'm going to go through some of them names. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We will do a little college football Monday darty. Coming up at the top of the hour, of course, we got Rangers President of Baseball Operations, Chris Young, joining us at 4:20. But right now, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, Broadus.
Thank you very much there, Wooly Bully. Appreciate you, and thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this one. We've talked about it a bunch this Thursday. We've got our Draft 101 here at the studio. downstairs in the showroom. Hopefully everybody can come by, check us out. I always encourage fans, even if you're not a Dallas Cowboys fan, please show up. If you have draft questions, we'll be happy to answer them. We study a lot of players, take a lot of pride in the work. We don't have all the answers, but the ones that we do have, we'll be able to kind of talk about and discuss. I know myself, I got through 235 players. That's the most I've ever done.
It's crushing it, man.
But I started a month early, though, too.
That probably helped.
Yeah, and once the Cowboys were completely out of it, I just said, you know what? I'm going to focus on this draft. And so I got about 235. If you're curious, I'll have the stack, the 1 to 235. I'll have that posted. I should finish that up tomorrow and then get it to my guys so they could put it up on 105.3 The Fan, the website. I'm kind of hearing that maybe that, too, that sometimes our European folk said they can't get our website. And I don't know why. And I don't know
how. We have a lot of UK listeners.
Yeah, and I don't know how. I know I might. Maybe I'll post it on Votch's site, Votch's YouTube site. He and I do that podcast every night together. So maybe I'll do that. But I'm going to put my stack, the 1 to 235, and then I'm going to put my board up there. Oh, so yeah. I believe in being transparent about this. I don't want to run away. Hey, there's guys I like. There's guys I don't like. I mean, I'm going to put them up there and you guys can have at it. But I take a lot of pride in being able to do the work. And I think everybody who's involved in Draft 101 and the coverage that we have for 3 days with DallasCowboys.com, I think is outstanding. And I'm so proud to be a part of that. So I hope you give that a listen as well. I when people come up to me and say, hey, I'm not a fan of the Cowboys, but I listen. I had coaches come up and say, hey, I listen. That's the ultimate thing for me. So if you would, give us a listen on all those platforms, if you would. All right, guys, there are some players that are absolutely flying up these draft boards. And there's some players that are not, they're going down. We'll maybe get to the guys that are going down on the draft boards. But the guys, I want to kind of run through some names. And Zach, you can help me out because you've seen a lot of these players. And you could kind of say where they started and now where they potentially are. And these are, again, from my friends over there. Oh, I call them friends. They actually hate my guts. At Pro Football Focus, but they listed some guys that had been going up this draft board, and I want to run them by and you see if you where you have them or where you started with them and where now you think if that's a justifiable move. Okay, Amon Mimbu from Missouri. His if you take mock drafting stats where he started, say on February 3rd till what we have April 7th, he's gone from slot selection of 25 to 10.
That's crazy.
That's a 15 spot change. Did you at the start of this feel like when you watched him that he would be a top 10 tackle?
No. Personally, I did not. I also thought maybe guard would be his best spot, but he is definitely athletic enough to play tackle. I mean, he's light on his feet. The hand placement can be a problem for him. I think sometimes he can grab the outside shoulder a little bit, but he is super young, and he's a guy that is super athletic for his size. He's only 20 years old, but I had him in the second.
Yeah. I think that it surprises me, too, that how he has gone from a guy, like I say, that's I kind of had him in that range of potentially 25, you know, of a second-round guy. Where you put him on the stack, I know I have 15 first-round grades.
Yeah,
he's somewhere in that mix. Okay, Jahdae Barron from the cornerback from Texas, on 2/3 of 25, he was 29th. On 4/7 of 25, he's 12th. Surprised of the position of the change, the jump of 17 spots from 29 to 12th.
No, because initially we were kind of thinking this is a top half of the first round.
I agree. That
so like this kind of indicates what we saw early on. I mean, we were all campaigning for Jahdae Barron, and then we're kind of being told like, oh, is he like, you know, late first rounder? You've got him way too high. He wouldn't be in the conversation at 12. I've got him right there competing for the best corner in the draft. I mean, I think I love Revel from East Carolina. Yeah. He'd probably be my number one guy, but Barron's right there. And I think when you talk about how many wide receivers are playing in the slot now, number ones, the St. Browns and company, Jahdae Barron's a guy that can play outside, inside. He's got great versatility.
We brought up Jalen Walker, the linebacker edge from Georgia. In February, he was 49th. In April, he's 17th. That's a 32 position slot change for him. Are you surprised that that he has gone that high up the board.
No, I mean, he's the eighth best player on my board as of right now. I think he is a top 10
player. I never thought he was out of the top 20 myself.
I'm with you, man.
I never believed that people thought that he was the 49th player in this draft. He is far, far, far better than that. How about this one? How about Derek Harmon, the tackle from Oregon? In February, he was 56th on folks' board. Now, in April, he's 31st. That's a 25-slot change for Derek Harmon from Oregon.
I love that. He's my number two defensive tackle, and I've kept him there. So, for me, I'm fine with him moving up. I was kind of hopeful at one point maybe he'd be a 44 guy. But no, yeah. I think he is a top 20 player in this draft.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. When I started to do my stack, he was one of the first guys that I thought about in that 20 range on my board. So that's really not a surprise to me at all.
If you can trade down and snag him around 20, be gorgeous.
I'd love Harmon. Yeah, big fan of his game.
He's a beast, dude.
We've talked about this, right? We're totally okay trading back if we don't get value.
Yes. I mean, as long as it's in the neighborhood of respectful.
Depending on who you're trading away from, yes.
But, I mean, we're okay going from 12 to, say, in the 20s and maybe not getting a second round, but getting a three.
Yeah,
we're
it's okay a bummer, but I think that's kind of what you're looking at this year. If you want to move, I think everybody wants to move back.
Yeah. Yeah, the likelihood of moving back is pretty low, but I would be down for it. Because this is a team that's not one player away by any stretch. They got a million holes. And they don't have enough picks.
Okay. Nick Amanawori, the South Carolina safety. In February, he was the 83rd best player. In April, he's the 35th best player. That's a change of 48 spots.
Gosh.
I kind of feel like that he's... I don't think he plays like the 35th best player on my board. I don't think this... This jump is only because of how well he tested, not how well he's played on film.
Yeah, I've got him as my number five safety.
Yeah.
I mean, I got starts
over him. So you kind of see like he would be the 83rd best player on your board.
Like honestly, I thought that it was the opposite. I thought he was a guy that, I mean, when we started, we were going off like Dane's top 50. He was pretty high in there.
Yeah.
And then I saw him and was just like, man, this guy, he should be way more physical with how big he is. And I don't see that.
Darius Alexander, the three technique from Toledo. In February, he was the 63rd best player on the board. In April, he's listed now as the 39th best player. 24 spot jump there for him. I think media scouts were late to the party on this guy. You know, when it came to you grab Toledo film, he is more like the 39th best player.
He's really good.
Than the 63rd best player. Maxwell Harrison, the corner from Kentucky. In February, he was 74. Today, April 7th, he is 47th. I actually think he's better than 47 myself. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, I've got him right behind. I actually put Will Johnson ahead of him, but he's my number five corner, and I've got him in the second round.
Quinshon Judkins, the Ohio State running back, 72 in February. Now, in April, 57.
I think he's moving up because you also have running backs just moving up. I mean, 57's not terrible, but I think that he probably is, for me, more around that 72 range. I did put a three on him.
How about this one? Elijah Orojo, the tight end from Miami.
And that's a local kid.
Yeah, he was 81st in February. He's now 59. Give me Mason Taylor over this guy all day.
100%.
Okay.
I've been seeing a lot of Philadelphia Eagles, Mason Taylor.
That would suck.
Yeah.
I would hate that.
He is really, really, really good.
I hear the way you guys talk about him. And
I'm not saying it because I'm an LSU homer, which I admit I am an LSU homer. But, man, he is going – and I was on that Giants podcast. They were talking about second round tight ends. I said, I would hate if you guys drafted Mason Taylor here. I would absolutely hate that. And
super well-rounded.
Yeah. All right, how about this one? And I got one more, maybe two more. Jalen Milroe is from – he was in – February, he was the 94th best player. Now he's 65.
Quarterbacks, the quarterback tax. That's what that is right there. And I think that the athleticism teams are kind of salivating over right now.
And the last one here before we get out of here is RJ Harvey, the running back from Central Florida. In February, he was 98th. Today he is 76.
Yeah, it's a bummer that everyone's caught on to RJ Harvey.
Older guy, going to be 25.
Yeah.
Problem with that?
No, not at all. I mean, you're probably only having him for his rookie deal anyway, the way we're turning and burning on running backs. But I do love me some RJ Harvey, Bucky Irving of this draft.
Really good football player. I think it's 76. That's a really good spot for him, by the way.
That's right where I've got him.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Eric, there you go. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. There it is. Krusty's Corner on a Monday, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Chris Young talking Rangers at 420. Coming up next, though, College Football Monday, Darty featuring Nico the Quitter on a collision course, potentially, with Chapel Bill. That's next year in the Nation.